May grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever. Amen. For script for text this morning, I'd like to read from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 8. And we'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 13. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and beginning with verse 1, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods and lords many, but to us here is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see these things, or see which hast knowledge, sit at, For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat at the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when we sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, that these words that have been spoken, they are indeed true, for your word is truth. We ask, Father, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess if we were to put a title on a service, which we don't do, I realize, but that title could be Knowledge and Love, which is more important. Knowledge can be something that can lead us astray, really. Just kind of a backup here as far as the, we think so often of sacrifice to idols, which always included some type of an animal, as a general rule. There was a lot to it. And in the buildings where these things took place and the people that would go there and all, they had three different occasions where they could eat the meat of the idols. There was one that was, they would eat it in a dining room. And in those buildings where all this took place, they did have a common area where they would hold meetings and discussions and so on and so forth. But there was also acted as a dining hall. So the meat that was served there was served from the idol that had been sacrificed. And if all of that meat was not used up, it was put into a marketplace so it could be sold. And once bought, then of course it could be taken home and eaten. But also there was another thing that could have taken place, and there's a little bit of confusion on that, but some say that there was a third of it was given to a priest. And then that priest could either partake of it, or if he didn't want it, then he could sell it to the marketplace, which in turn then would go to the people. So there was a set of rules involved there. And they had it down pretty good. But when we talk here about the gods that these people, or the sacrifice to gods, we've got to remember that all of the, every time a god is mentioned, it is a small g. Not a big G for the God that we worship. But in the first couple of verses, the Apostle Paul is kind of setting the stage for the message that he wants to bring out. And he said, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know." And this is referred, there have been, at least in some of the things that I looked up, it was referred to as a false knowledge. So these people that were in that, in the congregation, and who had come to understand that this was wrong, worshiping idols. It just wasn't right. And there were a bunch of them. I mean, whatever mankind's imagination could dream up, they could make an idol for it. And I've heard of some of them that weren't very nice, but we'll leave that there. But the point is that there was nothing off limits for mankind to make as an idol. It was because of the sinfulness of mankind. So if anyone thought that he knew anything, as Paul says, he knows nothing, as he ought to know. And that's the point we want to key in on. Just because you think you know something doesn't mean that you really do. Doesn't mean that you really understand. And it goes, we'll get into that down further down. But he's, as I said, he's setting the stage. And he says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." But then he goes on, he says, actually the next two verses, he's addressing all of those who, well, let's read them. "As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other than God, or none other God, but one. For though there be other called, I'm having a tough time this morning. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven and earth, as there be gods many and lords many." There is only one God. And this is, he's pointing this out specifically. There's only one. And he's telling it to all of the people that he's speaking to here. So when he talks to them, he's addressing them, but he's addressing them in such a way that to be careful how you behave towards those who at one time were worshiping idols. Let me ask you a question this morning, something that you can go inside your own head and think about. Your life that you once lived, if this pertains to you, and because I'm not going to judge anybody, but your life that you once lived, and once you came to understand and came to that knowledge of God and who he was and who he was to you and what he did for you, and you came to the point of understanding that you cannot continue to travel this path, and God gave you the grace to repent from it, and from that point you'd made that 180-degree turn, and you no longer lived in that life. You no longer live that lifestyle, or whatever it happened to be. Does Satan come to you today to remind you of what you once were? He does me. And in understanding that, and in knowing that for me, I can understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. That's what I have. That's what I have. But because of their former practice, because of what they had been, there was a conscience. The same as I have a conscience this morning. And to be, and Satan coming and reminding me of what I once was. That can be put aside, I understand, and but you see, that's Satan's job, to try to drive us down, or to drive me down, and try to keep me from believing, and keep me from understanding. And yet by God's grace, and thanks be to my Heavenly Father, he is more powerful than Satan. He is more powerful than anything that Satan could throw at me. And he does not allow me to be tempted to the point of falling. And he takes away those thoughts. In verse 7, he says, "Howbeit that there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." Because at one time they offered things up to idols. At one time they worshipped idols. Now they came out of that. They are no longer in it. They understand where their salvation lies. They understood where that they had that hope for eternal life, because they knew who Satan was, and they rejected him, and they accepted God, and they lived according to Christ. But yet their conscience still was there. And for them to go and eat meat that was offered up to an idol because of the lifestyle that they once lived, they just couldn't fully put it away. They couldn't fully not feel guilty about eating it. And that's the kind of battle that we have as Christians. Thanks be to God that one day he will accept us into his heavenly home, and those will no longer be an issue. If they see these things being eaten, if they see these things that at one time went on and people are partaking of them, their conscience, it hurts. It hurts. And it can be a stumbling block. It can be a stumbling block to those who at one time lived in that. So are we as Christians, so are we that have never actually worshipped or physically worshipped an idol or partook of any of that meat, should we just have the attitude of, hey, look, you know, you're not there anymore, it's not a problem, we can eat what we want, do what we want, and you're just going to have to deal with it? That's not what God wants. That's not what he wants from us this morning. He says, "But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. For those of us believe, it's not an issue." But in verse 9, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty that we have of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." To them that would look at you eating that and, you know, they wouldn't even have an answer. And they would look at that and become confused because of their conscience, and become a stumbling block. That they would not be able to fully understand just how much. And now these are new Christians. These aren't, for the most part, these aren't people that have lived in faith for years and years and years. These are new Christians. So for a person that has just come into faith, there is a a whole bunch of stuff that's written for them to understand and know and study. And you don't take it in a year. You don't take it in a month. You don't take it in 10 years. It's a constant study. And the more you study that you do, the stronger God is. And the more you understand and the more you acknowledge that indeed is by His grace that I can walk. Not by anybody else's. Not by anything that I have done. Not by anything that has been offered up to an idol. So the Apostle Paul is telling the Christians who have never been or who aren't involved in that type of thing to be careful. Just because you have the liberty to do something, and it can be anything. It doesn't have to be idols. It could be anything that we are familiar with here in this life. If you have that liberty, be careful of how you act around those who are weaker and those who, for conscience sake, have a problem. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, now here we get into this knowledge part of it. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? If he sees you sitting at meat or sitting at an area that he knows that meat was offered to an idol because of his conscience, Paul is asking, wouldn't that be a problem? Couldn't that lead you down the road or lead them down the road of rejecting? You see, because I have knowledge in a certain area, because I because I have knowledge, I've come to this and okay, this is, I've thought about this and I understand this is what it means. And then I use that knowledge and it becomes a detriment to someone who is weaker and who doesn't have it. Is that right? Is that what God wants from us? No. And there I say that, as I started out, the difference between knowledge and love. Love should be above everything. Even if we think we're the smartest person around, and we know more than anybody does about any given subject, always treat the other one with love. Does that go according to everything that we have within a religious, I could just be very broad and say in a religious establishment? No. That love should be offered to all people. And to have a compassion and an understanding to everybody. Because what is it, and we've heard this so many times, what is it that the world reads? It's us. And if we go around and just making fun of or not caring about someone's feelings or just being abrupt and blunt, it's not much of a message. But the loving and the compassionate message that Christ had for us when we came under grace is the same message that we need to offer up to the world. Because that message needs to be spread, and so much more today than it ever has been. Are they going to be those who accept it? I don't know. Some will, some won't. Sometimes you say one little word or one little phrase or whatever, and I don't want to be a religious fanatic, blah, 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 whatever. But we never know what that word is going to do. We never know how it's going to be implanted in your heart. We never know how that word will be understood. And we may never know that person ever comes into repentance. We may never know anything about it. But you see, that's not our responsibility. That's not our job. That job belongs to God through His Holy Spirit. All He asks us is to plant that seed. What is the most important love? Scripture tells us, and actually Christ actually has told us, love towards the Father, and the second is like it, love towards your neighbor. Well, if we take that expression or take that phrase, love towards the Father, which is, we know that it's everything. It's not just a little bit. It's not just, well, I'll give him this, but I'm not going to give. No, you give everything. And the second is like it, love towards your neighbor. Not like it by saying, okay, well, it's God, so I can't give him the same kind of thing. No, you give the same kind of love that you gave God, you give to your neighbor. You accept him where he is and treat him with compassion and understanding. And that is a message that is so hard to refute. It's a message that is so hard for them not to understand. And this is, again, is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. Be concerned about your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And don't do things to them that would be a stumbling block. Don't do things to them that would cause them to perish. In verse 11 it says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brothers perish for whom Christ died. Because of what you think, because of what you believe outside of Christianity or outside of faith, is that more important than what Christ did for you? Is that more important than offering up the love that God has for you? But in verse 14, or verse 13, the Apostle Paul says it the best. He says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend or to stumble, I will eat no flesh until while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. It was that important to him. It was that important to him that he would never eat any more flesh if it would cause his brother to stumble. That's how much he loved them. That's how much Christ loves us. Because he took it. He took all of that problem that we had, all the stumbling, all the sin, all the everything that you, any bad word that you can imagine of what you used to be, and he took it here. He took it upon that cross. And then on that third day he arose and defeated death and the hell and the devil. And we can look at that today and just thank and praise him for what he did.